The following is a presentation from Mount Greylock Baptist Church. Mount Greylock Baptist is a Bible-based church located in North Adams, Massachusetts. For more resources, please visit our website, mountgreylockbaptist.com.
Please take your Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 8. Luke, chapter number 8. We're going to begin reading this morning in verse 1, and I believe on your notes it says down to verse 18. We're actually going to read to verse 16, Luke chapter 8, and verses 1 through 16. The Bible says, and it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. And when much people were gathered together and were come out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Would you just read that one verse out loud with me again, verse 11 right now. Let's read it together. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Let me continue. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they had heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in honest and good heart have heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Let's just stop. Actually, I said verse 16. I meant to read down to verse 15. Let's stop there and we'll have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for the opportunity this morning just to gather here and already to just have the privilege that you've given us to lift up our voices and to sing and to worship you, the privilege to receive an offering, the privilege to listen to the special music. Thank you just for this day and every day that you give us. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the precious blood that was shed on the cross 2,000 years ago, the eternal life that we have through our faith in the finished work of Calvary. And Lord, now as an act of worship for these next several minutes, help us to think about these truths and how they apply to our lives. I pray, Lord, if there's someone here today that has never received Christ as their Savior, that today would be the day that they'd be gloriously saved. They'd come to the realization, because Holy Spirit, you would bring this realization, that they are lost and on their way to a Christless eternity in a place called hell, but that you have come, Jesus, to die and pay for their sin. And today they'd cry out by faith and put their faith and trust in you. Please use me as your instrument and use me as your vessel this morning for your honor and for your glory to fulfill your purpose for us being here today. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, one third of all of Jesus' teachings in the Bible were parables. And for you that don't know, what is a parable, you might say? We read that verse 11. Now the parable is this. So very simply put, a parable is an earthly example that conveys a heavenly truth or a biblical truth. That's a parable. And we're going to look at this parable this morning. But the theme of the message, I really took the title from verse 15, if you look at it again, where it says in verse 15, "But that on the good ground are they which in honest and good heart, having heard the word," and those next two words, "keep it and bring forth fruit with repentance." And I want to eventually get to the place in this message to emphasize the importance of you and I as believers in keeping the Word of God. And I put on your handout, if you notice some things there, I put that phrase, keep it. It means to hold down or to keep it in memory, to possess it, to retain it, to seize on it, or to put it into practice. I gave you some examples too. Job 23:10-12, I have on your handout. And so most of you, if you know the story of Job and what took place in Job's life and how God allowed Job to go through tests and through trials. And one of Job's responses to all of this is found here. And he said this, speaking of the Lord, he said, "But he," the Lord, "he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more necessary than food." In fact, real quickly, just take your Bibles. We'll come back here in just a second. Go to Luke chapter 11. Look at what it says here in verse 27. Luke chapter 11 and verse 27. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said," now here's Jesus' response, "Yea," he said, "rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." The importance of keeping God's word. And some other things before we get into the parable I want you to see here. Notice this too, go back to chapter 8, and notice in verse number 3. So at this point now in Jesus' ministry, the crowds are beginning to gather, people are following the Lord, and it lists here this group of women, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him, and now look what these next three words say. They ministered unto him of their substance. That was their next step offering. This was their substance. These were things that they had. Listen, these women, they had been brought up under the teachings of God's word. They had been brought up with regards to the synagogue. They understood what the Lord said about giving. And now as they began to walk with the Lord and as he ministered, they understood the importance of taking some of that which they had and they ministered unto the Lord sacrificially. These women were probably not women of means, but they gave back to the Lord. All through the scriptures, you see the example of that. Amen? Amen? All right, I'll get you. I know you lost an hour of sleep last night, but the only person here this morning that has a good reason to not say amen is Rebecca Gavush. That's because she's had laryngitis for 5 weeks. That's a long time. And all she can do right now is smile. Smile at me. You need to keep her in your prayers. I'm kind of joking about it, but it's a serious thing. But keep her in your prayers as she's going through this. But anyhow, they gave of their substance. So important that we do that. And then it says this, as we went through this parable, and Jesus begins to give this example. So he gives the example here, and he's talking about sowing the seed. I've already had you repeat that verse, so we know that here, and we're going to see that the seed in the parable, it's the Word of God. So the parable is this: the sower goes and he sows the seed, and some by the wayside, and it gets trodden down, and the birds come, and so they eat it. Some fall upon the rock. It begins to spring up, but it lacks moisture, and it fails. Some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it. The thorns choke it. And in verse 8, other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he said these things, he said this: he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, he's saying, listen, there are some people, and we're going to see this as we get into the parable, they don't really want to listen. They're not really interested in listening. And what was true then is even true today. Some people just don't want to hear the things of God. Even sometimes coming to church, people just kind of come because it's routine. But Jesus always asks that question: he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. In a sense, he's saying, are you listening? Are you listening to what I have to say to you this morning? And the disciples in verse 9, you could miss this too if you just casually read through this. And his disciples asked him. And that little word there, asked, it's an important word. Because if you do just a little word study on that word, the word there, they didn't just ask casually. When they used that word ask, they were eager. It has the idea of repeatedly, Lord, what are you trying to teach us? What does this really mean? How do we make application to our life? How does this affect me personally? And might I just say this morning, whenever we come, either it's under the preaching of God's Word or the teaching of God's Word, or when you open up your Bibles in your own private time, we ought to have that same eagerness. We ought to have that same desire. Lord, what are you trying to teach us? Even having lost an hour of sleep last night, what are you trying to teach us? And so he says, well, let me tell you what this is about. Verse 11. The parable is this: the seed is the Word of God. So we've established that. God's Word. And here's the first example. If you'll notice on your handout, there are four types of soil. And we want to just quickly look at these types of soil. Now, before we even get into the parable, let me say this too. All Scripture has one primary meaning. You understand what I mean by that? There's one primary meaning. I personally believe that the primary meaning of the four soils, the first three soils are people who hear the Word of God and will see, never receive it, and are lost eternally. The fourth soil is the person who hears the Word. Because you do understand this morning, that people all through generations can sit and hear the preaching of God's Word and never receive Christ as their Savior, and they go off into eternity lost forever. But as we go through this, a secondary illustration, and I think you'll see this as well. So think of it this way as we go through it. Each of the soils can in some way represent even a believer's heart when a believer hears the Word of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the primary meaning of the Scripture here is for a person to hear and to be lost, but also you as a believer can make application as well. So the first soil is the hard soil. Look at verse number 12. Those by the wayside are they that hear, and then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So you understand what the wayside is here. If you've done any gardening, even in your small gardens, you may have a wayside. I have a small garden. It's probably not even as big as one of the sections of these pews. And I plant my seeds in the garden. But every year, to get in the center of the garden, I have a pole. And on that pole, that's where I put the hose. And then it's got a sprinkler to water the garden. And sometimes I've got to make adjustments. Or to go into the garden, you know, you go into the garden and you have your rows. But there's always a path. There's like two paths. And so by the end of the summer, those two paths in my garden, it's very hard. Because I've walked on it. It's trodden down. Well, a farmer, it's the same way. When the farmers would plant their seed along the edges, so the field would come to this point, the road would be here, but along the edge of the road, it was hard. The ground had never been tilled. And so when they were spreading the seed, eventually some of the seed would fall on that wayside. And it never could penetrate into the soil. And in the parable, Jesus is using this as an example. He's saying, listen, there are going to be some people that the word comes forth and their hearts are hard. Their hearts are hardened. They've been trodden down. And the seed doesn't take root. And so that's the place, if you notice on your handout, the hard soil. The problem, I've already said to you, it's been trodden down. But there's a predator. And the predator here, in the example, he mentions the fowls of the air. But then he explains who the fowls of the air are. It's the devil. It's Satan that comes, and Satan snatches the word of God. Listen, every time we gather for the preaching of God's word, I believe that Satan wants to snatch the word of God away from you. To steal it away. But especially so for someone who sits under the preaching of God's word that has never received Christ as their Savior. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3, Paul wrote this. He said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And then he speaks about the God, small g, of this world, who hath blinded the mind of those who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel shine in unto them, and they be saved. Satan works overtime to blind people, to steal away the word of God. He uses doubt. He uses deception. His strategy hasn't changed from the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. It is the same. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And so whether we're talking about the person who's lost or whether we're talking about the saved person, there is still a satanic strategy for both. Snatch away the word of God. Steal the word of God away. Now the second soil. Look at verse number 13. They on the rock are they, which when they hear, they receive the word with joy. They have no root in them. For a while they believe, and in a time of temptation they fall away. So these individuals, by the way, if you travel to the Holy Land, it is very common in the Holy Land, there is a thin layer of soil, and under that layer of soil is rock. And so, to the hearers of this, especially as Jesus is giving them this example, they would understand this completely. They would understand the challenges of planting, the challenges of trying to grow things. But the shallow is very soil. And under that soil is a rock. That's the place here. And the problem is, as they would plant, because the seed would begin to grow. And it's the example is even people who hear the word of God and they kind of like what they hear. They kind of like maybe even some of the principles of God's Word. The benevolence and the idea of God and God being a God of love. And truly, these are all good things. But there's no root. And Jesus went on and he said this. He said, because there's no root, because it doesn't grow into the soil, temptation comes and they fall away. They start out right, but trials come, temptations come, difficulties come. In Matthew's gospel, the same parable there, he uses the words tribulation, and he uses the word persecutions come. And he also says when the sun comes up, in Luke's gospel, there's not enough moisture. In Matthew's gospel, the sun comes up and scorches the seed. It just dries out the soil. That's why there's not enough moisture. And so sometimes that happens in people's lives as well. Some people sit under the preaching of God's Word and they begin to hear and like what they hear. But then difficulties come, problems come. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Look at it on your handout. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Now look at that next word on your handout. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as ye have been taught. The only way you can be established in the faith as you have been taught, and this is very deep, so get this. Deep roots. Hey, that worked out pretty good, huh? The only way you can be established in what you've been taught is to be taught. To sit under the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. But their roots are deep. They had shallow soil. The tribulation, the problems came. These you might say, where in the hard soil was the enemy came, the shallow soil, these are those who base so much of what they hear on emotion. There can be a lot of emotion at times in Christianity. But the Bible never tells us to build our faith upon emotion. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It doesn't say faith cometh by emotion. Emotions change. Amen? So not every day that you get up are you going to feel like serving the Lord. You're just not. Not every day that you wake up are you going to feel like reading your Bible. Not every day that you get up are you going to feel like praying. Not every day that you wake up are you going to feel like, and you can put anything that you want into that little saying. You can't base your faith on emotion. People don't get saved on emotion. Something you have to be very careful of. When I was called into the ministry, one of the things I was warned against was this. Don't go into the ministry because it's an emotional decision. You go into the, and I struggled with that and prayed about that for several years. Lord, is this something that I want to do or is this something that you want me to do? Because I can tell you this, it's been since 1990. Since I've been in the ministry in this capacity, if this has been an emotional calling, I would have been out of the ministry a long time ago. But what's true about the ministry is true about your ministry. Things don't always go right. Make sure your roots are deep. And then there's the crowded soil. Look what it says here. Verse 14, that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. This might be what we call where the hard soil was the enemy that snatches away the seed and the shallow soil is an emotional issue. The crowded soil is an entangled issue. If you've done any kind of gardening whatsoever, you know the importance of weeding and how important it is to weed. I will say this, though. If you ever go away and you have a garden, do not ask my son Adam to ever weed for you. I went to Haiti several years ago on a missions trip. I said, Adam, Dad's going to be away. You need to weed the garden for me. Yep. Okay, Dad. So I came home. I went out into my garden to see how it was doing after it had been gone for almost 2 weeks. And I said, where are my string beans? Where are my 3 rows of string beans? Adam, come out to Dad to the garden. Well, Dad, I thought those were weeds. Did it ever occur to you that they were all in a row? Apparently not. Amen? Anyhow, I've never let him forget it, and that's because I've never forgotten. Anyhow, but you do understand the importance of not getting so letting the weeds to take root in your garden. It entangles everything. It strangles everything. Listen, we can get so caught up in the world in which we live, it just strangles our faith. The place is the soil with the thorns. The problem is it's choked. The predators, the cares of this life. We can get so busy that we just don't have any time for the Lord anymore. We can get to the place where if everything else works out, then I'll kind of plug my spirituality into my spare time when it's supposed to be the opposite of that. We live in a busy world. We live in a world that's got more conveniences than ever, and it seems like we have less time than ever. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The importance of keeping God's word. The enemy's going to come and try to prevent you from keeping God's word. Your emotions are going to come and try to keep you from keeping God's word. You can get so entangled with things that perhaps aren't even necessarily in and of themselves bad things, but if they so sap your time and energy that you don't have any time for the Lord, then they become bad things. Jesus is teaching this lesson to the disciples. And again, in each of these, there are people who will never come to know Christ because of the work of the enemy. Because they based everything on emotion. Or they're so entangled with this life, they have no time for the things of God. But verse 15, but on the good ground are they. And these are important words. Look there. With an honest and a good heart. You know, an honest and a good heart recognizes a number of things. Obviously, an honest and a good heart recognizes their need of a Savior. That they're lost. That they're on their way to a Christless eternity. They're honest with themselves. That they're a sinner. And then for those who have already come to that conclusion and recognize their need of Christ, an honest and a good heart is a heart that realizes the importance of keeping God's word, making the application regularly in our lives. The good ground. And oh, what a difference the soil makes when our hearts are right, when we don't let them become calloused and hard and indifferent. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight shall be in the law of the Lord, and in it he shall meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The importance of being in God's word and keeping God's word. Keep it, he says in verse 15, and bring forth fruit with patience. That word patience there, it's the same idea, the same meaning as with perseverance. Now, I've said all of that to finish with this. That was my introduction. But here's really what I want you to get. In fact, I'm going to have you turn to one last portion of Scripture and then we'll be done. Go to Psalm 126. Psalm 126. Two verses. Verses 5 and 6. And will you read these out loud with me? Let's begin. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Had you finished here, because it wasn't my plan to do this, but this morning, my normal routine is I get up early on Sunday, and about 6 o'clock to about 6:45, 7 o'clock, I go over my sermon. And the Lord brought this verse to my thinking. Why is it? Why is it that the importance of the seed, the importance of realizing that Satan wants to snatch the seed and our emotions will have an effect upon the seed and we can get so entangled? Why do we allow ourselves to get entangled? And this is what the Lord spoke to my heart about. We don't realize just how precious the seed is. Remember, what did it say here? He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing, what kind of seed? You tell me. What kind of seed? Precious seed. Listen, unless you believe this book is precious, are you listening? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Unless you believe that this book is precious, you are very likely to get caught up under satanic attack. You are very likely to falter under emotional problems and difficulties. You are very likely to get entangled with the cares of this world because you fail to realize how precious the words of this book are. You see, when you and I are going to plant our garden, it's kind of hard to think of it today after we just got a monster snowstorm. But in a few, well, maybe in about 6 weeks, I guess, right? We're going to plant our gardens, aren't we? And what are we going to do? We're going to go down to either Walmart or Home Depot or Aubuchon's, and we're going to buy our packets of seeds. Some of us might even plant plants. And you'll go down there and you'll have racks and racks and racks of seeds, right? They're not really precious to us. You can buy a package of seeds for $1.49 at most places. We live in a country where and most of you in your families, you probably have 3, 4, maybe even 5 Bibles in your home. If you have a cell phone this morning, all you got to do is click a button and the Bible's right there. If you got a computer, you can pull up a Bible program. What I'm saying is the seed is so abundant to us that it is not precious. When the writer of Psalms said, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy, he that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed," you understand that if the previous year they had a poor crop, that their very livelihood the next year depended upon the seeds being planted. There was no Walmart to go to buy their seeds. There was no Home Depot. Whatever they planted, they would take a portion of what they planted and they would take seeds from what they planted, put those seeds in a little bag, put them aside, and save them for the next year. Those seeds were so precious to them that those seeds were a matter of life and death for their family. Without the seeds, the next year they couldn't plant the garden. Without the garden, they would starve to death. Those seeds to them were more precious than gold and silver. Those seeds to them were more precious than all the cares of the world. Those seeds to them were more precious than all the ups and downs. It was their very life depended upon it. When it says they would sow in tears, the images of the farmer planting the crop, and the imagery is him just praying and asking God and tears flowing. It's a kind of a beautiful picture of the almost like the tears watering the seed. Oh God, that you'll give us a bountiful crop so that next year we'll have food and we'll survive. Because the seed was precious to them. But we get to the place and point where the seed, the Word of God, it's just not precious because it's so abundant. Growing a garden in Reedsboro is a challenge. But I had one year, I remember, several years ago, maybe 6 or 7 years ago now, everything must have just been perfect. I had so many vegetables, which is pretty rare for me, but so many vegetables, as much as I gave away by the end of the summer, and as much as we ate, I literally had vegetables that rotted. I couldn't give it away. And I thought of that, and I thought sometimes that's where we can be with God's Word. When we come to the house of God, we're preaching the Word of God. It has to be precious, or you put yourself in a position of allowing the devil to snatch it away. You put yourself in a position of your emotions beginning to run your life instead of the Word of God. You put yourself in a position of getting so entangled with everything else that this world has that it begins to choke you. Because the Word of God is just not precious. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves. When the Word of God is precious to you, listen, this has got to step on some toes, but why not? Facebook, for many of us, is more precious than the Word of God. Just let it sink in. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. The internet is more precious to us than the Word of God. And just let the Holy Spirit now convict you about what is it that's more precious to you than the Word of God. Let's pray. First, this morning, if you're here, the message really was more for believers than it was for non-believers. But if you're here this morning and you've never received Christ, that's how we get saved. Faith does come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We hear from the Scriptures that we're lost. We hear from the Scriptures that we need to be saved. We hear from the Scriptures that Christ has died and paid for our sin. We hear from the Scriptures that by faith, if you put your faith and trust in Him, He'll save you. And if you're here this morning, that's the gospel. So simple a child can understand it. And I would call upon you this morning. I pray that the Holy Spirit is bringing that conviction to your heart that right now, right where you sit, you'll cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, I need to be saved. I need to be saved. I need to be born again. I need to put my faith and trust in you and what you've done for me on the cross. But now for you and I that have already placed our faith and trust in Christ, is the Word of God precious? Is it precious? Or do we have a Walmart Christianity? Are we so caught up in the abundance of all that we have, living in such an affluent culture, an affluent time, has it really choked out our devotion to God's Word? Or you're struggling with some difficulty or problem in your life, and it's having an effect on your emotions. Don't let your emotions dictate your Christianity. Maybe you feel genuinely that you're under satanic attack. Well, the answer is this: draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. Flee the devil, resist the devil, and he will flee. Get a hold of the precious seed, the Word of God. Father, bless the invitation. Let it bring honor and glory to you. Speak to our hearts as you see fit. If there be someone here today who's never received Christ as their Savior, I would pray that now they've already cried and asked Jesus to be their Savior. Whatever area of our life that you've brought conviction this morning, help each Christian to respond in kind. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. We hope that the message was an encouragement to you. If you are nearby, please consider being our guest this Sunday. For more information about Mount Greylock Baptist Church, or for answers about what it means to be a Christian, please contact us. We would love to hear from you. You can find more resources online at mountgreylockbaptist.com.